everything in my life is a ceremony. So this is a really powerful ceremony we're going to have right here. And I want to start by lighting this candle and dedicating everything that we're doing today to one of the brothers, Michael Daly, who was a part of this church and took his own life. And so everything, brother, we are doing here for you today. And since I heard of Michael's story, he's been with me. Very powerful. And so I got to warn you guys, too, you know, that my superpower is empathy. We all have our superpowers. Some of us are artists. Some of us are organizers. Some of us are builders. But my superpower is my heart. And so I'm liable to cry a lot. I brought a napkin. It's okay to cry with me. That's why we're here. Because we're going to get real. We have to get real with each other. We have to get real with each other for Michael. You see. We have to get real with each other for each other. You see. Because we're in this together. So, I'm really grateful. And I'll be up and down. I'm really grateful to be here. It's been 7 years since I've been in a church. And my journey has led me led me to some incredible places. And so my native brothers, they convey wisdom through talking story. So we're going to talk story a little bit. That's how we're going to start. And so it's real important while we're doing this that energetically we keep our heart space open. Like our heart is right here in the center of our chest. It's our heart chakra. And when we close our arms like this, the body language of it is to, like, when we fold our arms like this, this what we're doing is, like, actually closing our heart chakra completely off. And this is like a defense mechanism that we do. We do it, we don't even, it's like subconscious. So I want you guys to, like, throughout this, when we start really getting real and start talking real truth to each other, to make sure to keep your body posture open to receive. Don't close yourself off, even if it's uncomfortable. Okay? So, talking story. I started out as the preacher's kid. And I was my dad's protege. My dad had two daughters and one son. And so, my earliest memories from even 2 years old, 3 years old, were of my dad teaching me the Bible. And I gave my first sermon when I was 4 years old. It was about 3 minutes. My dad had me memorize it. It took about 3 weeks to do. And then I spent the rest of my childhood and teenage years perfecting the craft of executing a sermon. And this was the gift that my dad taught me. Some dads teach their kids how to fish and hunt. My dad taught me how to preach. And he taught me, he was a theologian, and he taught me Christian theology. But there was always something. I got to tell you about the church, because maybe you guys can relate to this. This was a church, a very organized religion that was formed in the late 19th century. It kind of emerged from that Calvinist, early settler Calvinist mentality. And what they did was they tactically removed emotion. They tactically removed emotion. Everything was academic. Everything was mental. Everything was analysis. And the music here is beautiful, but it reminds me a little bit with the hymn book of these hymns that we sang for years and years that were structured to not evoke emotion. I mean, they stripped emotion from their spirituality. In fact, they had no spirituality. What they had was academia. Okay? And so, because of the way that I made, I yearned for what I was hearing was God. Now, when I say God, understand that what I mean when I say God is the harmonic universal force, the Shekinah, that binds electrons and protons to the nucleus, the space, the infinite space between the on the atomic level. That force is love. And to me, that is God. So when you guys hear me speak of God, please know that I am not speaking of the man in the sky who wants to punish you for eternity. That is a lie. That's a lie that's been sold to the people for manipulation, and I reject that. So don't get uncomfortable when I talk about God, because I have to talk about God, because God is love and I am a being of love. So as a child growing up, I was starving for God. Like, where are you in my life? And when times came, the rough times of my life came. As an adult, as a teenager, but more so as an adult, I found myself in a place where I was married to a woman who was a terrible alcoholic. Very abusive, verbally, abusive physically, and torment. And I was just a young kid, you know? And I was surrounded by elders and preachers who did not know how to connect with their own emotions, much less mine. So when I, in my weakest state, would go to them and to try to communicate to them what I was dealing with, their response was cold and icy. Their response was dogmatic, that you need to be more contrite, that it's something that you're doing, that this is some punishment from God. But they couldn't connect with me because they were so much in their mind, and their heart chakra was completely shut down. Their heart. They didn't know how to connect with their own feelings, much less mine. So I suffered. And I knew in my heart that something wasn't right. This is not spirituality. This is not where I belong. And this young man came into my life. I was about 21 at the time, and he was a young brother in the congregation. He was about 12. And he was mildly autistic, and this was back before autism was a big deal. People like really knew about autism, right? And his father and mother were not so good to him. So, to be honest with you, they were abusive to him. And so I took this young brother under my wing, and I would spend time with him, take him fishing. He'd come over to the house and play video games and stuff, because I could see he was so, 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 so sad. And one day, I got a phone call. I was working in Houston, Texas. I got a phone call that he killed himself. He called his father to come pick him up. He was about 17 at the time. He called his father to come pick him up. And when his father got there, he found him. He killed himself. And when that happened, I said to myself, I said, God, if you're out there, God, to give me something to help these people, you have to give me the tools to reach these people that are broken. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
You really with me?
Yes.
That's why we had to talk about Michael today. live in, it really sucks, you know? It's beautiful, and it's dangerous, because this culture, this American culture that we live in, do you realize that you live in an illusion? That you live in a construct? Everything in our life, from our spirituality to our familial relationships to economics, everything is designed. This didn't just organically evolve over the last 200 years. Everything in our society is designed to isolate us. We live lives of isolation. Even when we have families, even when we have partners, we live lives of isolation. The system is like that so that we can be consumers, really. This is all they want, is for us to buy crap. And they need us to be selfish and self-centered. They need us to be isolated from our neighbors, from our lovers, from our children, from each other, so that we can feel like, what do I need? I need a new TV. What do I need? I need a new car. What do I need? I need another gadget from the dollar store. What do I need? I need a bigger house. What do I need? I need a bigger house. What do I need? I need a better car, a more expensive car. And all the while, I'm slaving and slaving and slaving and slaving to make as much money as I can to buy as much crap that I do not need. And this is the system that we live in. And in that system that every one of us in this building lives in, we create this wall around us. And we strip ourselves of our empathy. Because so much of what I've heard this morning and so much of what I've seen this morning in the hymns that you guys are singing is about love and empathy. Empathy. Empathy is what allows us to connect with each other, for us to be in the presence of someone who is suffering and feel and connect with their suffering. We can't even empathize with our own suffering. We can't even communicate our own suffering. If you're from the South and from Louisiana, one of the most common greetings is "How you doing?" And I cringe sometimes, really, almost every time somebody asks me how I'm doing. Because sometimes I'm not doing so great. Do you really want to hear how I'm doing? Hold on. One time I was working and this guy came up and I was really just in a terrible place. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "My marriage is falling apart. My wife's divorcing me." He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry I asked." Right? That's what we do to each other, right? "How you doing?" "I'm great. Move on." But we're not great always. Are we not human? Are we not human beings? Are we not human beings? Do we not laugh and celebrate? Do we not cry and suffer? We're not robots. We're not consumers. We're not isolationists by design. We're pack animals by design. By evolutionary standards, we're meant to congregate with each other tribally. These are our roots for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And to live in isolation, to live in consumerism, is to isolate the nature of who we are. To work with each other communally, to love each other communally. And I'm not talking about the act of physical love. I'm talking about the act of emotional love, of the act of compassion. We need our mothers. We need our sisters. Us men, I'm looking at you. We need our sisters to help us with their compassion because these are their gifts. It doesn't really come easy for us. Somebody told me, a good friend told me the other day that he heard this psychologist say that the greatest threat to middle-aged men is not cancer. It's loneliness. Man, y'all, thank you for shaking your head, yes. Because if you guys that are in this age group know that this is a truth, because this world is not conducive to us being open-hearted. We are trained from infancy to suppress our emotions. We are trained from infancy by our fathers. This is a curse. Do you understand? This is a curse that men hang down to their children. You're not supposed to cry. Only girls cry. I heard this poem once that said, if only I could cry. It was written by a man that was in prison. It's on YouTube. I think you should look it up. It's really powerful. This curse that's handed down to us brothers, I hope that you would, in this moment right now, think about how that curse, that isolation, that inability to connect with your own emotions has caused trauma and havoc on your wives and girlfriends and children and people that are in your life. Go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you. Come on. Come on. That's how this is. You got to interact. Should I say it again? I want you to think about how the curse that was handed down to you by either your father or father figures, or imposed upon you by your buddies and homeboys in American society to suppress the natural feelings that you have in your heart, has created suffering and trauma on your children and on your wives and on your girlfriends. And on everyone in your family that has ever said, I love you. And to everyone in your family who you have ever said, I love you to. Say that again. Yes. You build, we build, brothers, a steel cage around our heart. It scares us to death. All that machismo and bravado and chest beating, that's just bull crap. That's just bull crap. That's just a little boy whose daddy told him he can't really be who he really is, which is a being of love and compassion, a being of empathy. Those are not exclusively female qualities. They're human qualities. Mm-hmm. They're human qualities. Are you stripped of your humanity? Let's get real, man. And I know right now I'm tap dancing on some toes. That's all right. That's why I had to come here. Because if you want to live a life of happiness, if you want to live the real human experience, if you want to experience the love of a woman, then you got to drop that steel cage. You will never experience how deeply a woman can love you until you allow you to love yourself. You will never experience the life-altering beauty of the love of a child until you can love yourself as a child. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
How we do it?
Good.
How much time I got?
Seven.
Seven? Oh, I gotta land a plane now. You know, this is way more than I could ever cover in 30 minutes, right? I told Katie Shivani that this is a symposium, you know, because it's a deep, this is a multidimensional subject that covers all kinds of relations and things. And so I want you guys to, I want everybody to close their eyes. And I mean everybody, no looking around. And if you have medicated yourself through either pharmaceutical antidepressants or some other street drug to help you survive in this world in the last couple of years, I want you to gently raise your hand.
Raise my hand, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Because I was raising my hand too. And a big part of this is, a big part of the reason why we have to do this is what we're talking about. Because we have no community that is providing a space for us, that's held in a way for us to really be real with each other, to really be compassionate with each other. You guys had a brother that killed himself and never told anybody what he was going through. I want everybody that's a member of this church to ask Michael, what are you going through, Michael? Out loud.
What are you going through, Michael?
Michael, why did you kill yourself?
Why did you kill yourself?
I want you to hear me when I say this. Because I have to speak for Michael. Do you know how hard it is to live in this world with a pure heart? Do you know how lonely it is to live in a place where my heart is pure and I just want to love people? I just want to live in peace. I just want to live in peace. And no one gave me the opportunity. No one created a space for me to be vulnerable and let this out. Can you see that there is no way for me? Can you see that there is no light at the end of the tunnel? Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what that feels like? When there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So, to Michael's soul, I say, fly with the eagles, my brother. Fly with the eagles. Fly into the sunset. And know that you are loved here, that in the place of the material, the space may not have been created, but here we send our love to your spirit. We send our empathy to your spirit. We send our compassion to your spirit. We see, we are so sorry that we didn't see it before, but we see it now. So go with our love. And to this community and everyone that's here, I want to say to you that one of the most beautiful things that I love, I feel so home here with you guys. and I listened to a sermon that was done by a Unitarian minister, and he said that the defining there were two defining marks of a member of these churches, and that they believed in profound humility and active love. Active love, which I heard so much about it. We read, what faith without works is dead. This is a fundamental principle of love and spirituality. It doesn't matter who said it, and it doesn't matter what book it came out of, because it's truth. I can tell y'all another story about that. Love comes out of the mouth so easy. I love you, 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 I love you. But you gotta put your boots on the ground. You gotta put your money where your mouth is. You gotta put the muscle behind the hustle. You gotta make love work. You gotta stand behind your words. And that means when your brother comes to you and he says, man, I don't have a place to live, you give him a place to live. It means that when you see that your brother is suffering, that you go to him privately or her privately and you say, I see you. I see that you're suffering. I see that you need somebody to talk to. I'm here. I'm here for you. Give it to me. Let it out. And then you hold space, and then you come back and you say, you're not alone, because that's what Michael needed, was somebody to say, you're not alone in this. You're not alone in that pit. And you're going to make it out, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to hold your hand until you emerge on the other side. Do you hear me? And so, for you guys in this community, so much love and so much talk of love. All of the energy that you put into these social projects, all of these, the energy that you put into the academia, the theology of learning these different things, please, I'm begging you, I'm begging you, I'm begging you, I'm begging you, invest in each other. I'm begging you from the bottom of my heart. Because you are all you got. You are the tribe. You are the community. And if you guys are not there for each other, if you guys are not there to listen to each other and to really hold space for each other and guide each other, who will there be? Who will there be? So, I know it was intense. I know it was. Thank you for crying with me, and thank you for participating. You know, I didn't tell you guys that after leaving my dad's church, I went on a journey, and I spent some time as a Pentecostal and Pentecostal preacher, and so, you know, it's hard for me to be in a group, in a room full of people and not tap into that part of my training. And so I really like it when people get involved and they start clapping and preaching back, and, you know, and like, that's what I love, you know. And so thank you for all the smiles, and thank you for all of the attention, and thank you for being these beautiful people. These beautiful, beautiful, beautiful souls, because this church should be packed. This church should have a line outside. The door should be open, and speakers should be outside, and people should be on the sidewalk. Do you understand? I'm not kidding. Because a place like this, a place of love that extracts condemnation, that extracts judgment out of it and gets down to the root of all spirituality, which is love. This is a beacon. This place ought to, you guys ought to have to tear this building down and build a coliseum. Because what I see when I come to this city is a bunch of suffering people who've been beaten up by systemic and you know, systemic judgment and organized religion.
Yeah.
And the control aspect of the condemnatory aspect, the judgment aspect that says you got to be different. You got to be somebody you weren't created to be. You're going to be punished if you do these things. Condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. But here in this place, there's freedom and acceptance. There's love. And that is it. That is it. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Tell us, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? Which one of the 700 Mosaic laws is the most important?" And Jesus said,
"Love thy neighbor as thyself."
Ha! Say that again.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. Does anybody know what he said right after that? He said, "On this, the entire law is constructed." This is the wisdom of the Bodhisattva. This is the wisdom of Christ consciousness. This is the wisdom of the sage. This is the wisdom of the shaman. This is the high holy wisdom that is so simple that all you have to do is love each other. If you love each other, you're not going to steal. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to do all these different things. The entire codex could be summed up in four letters. And this is the message that's lost. And so I have to land the plane right now. The tires are about to hit the asphalt. So please, my beloved, dear friends, love each other.
And yourselves.
Love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself, because if you can't love yourself, then you can't love anybody. And follow this sister right here. Because she
yes.
is on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
She is a leader for you. Follow her. This, what's the thing that you're doing? The Vespers. Vespers is a way, you know, Vespers is a way outside of the ritual of Sunday morning for you guys to come together and create that space that we're talking about. You know, create that space where you can say, because every one of you can, you know, like, every one of you can get into that heart space and let that stuff out. And when you do, man, your life is going to transform. And you're going to feel so together in this house of love. You're going to have to tear it down and build another one. Because the people are going to flock in here. The people of this city hide behind those Mardi Gras masks. You hear me now?
Yes.
The people of this city hide behind those Mardi Gras masks. They've been abused and they have nowhere to turn. So they turn to the party, and they turn to the drugs, and they turn to the alcohol, and they turn to violence. But love is the key. Love is the key that unlocks it. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. So much.
Thank you.